Welcome to Liz Collin Reports. On the podcast, we are featuring a growing group in Minnesota reclaiming our schools. The Minnesota Parents Alliance educates and empowers parents to engage in their school communities for academic achievement, equality, and parental rights. Critical work in the world we are living in. The group's executive director, Christine Troyanen, joins me to talk school board candidates, an upcoming expert on school choice, making a visit to Minnesota, and much more. Christine, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm always delighted to have these conversations. I think they're needed, and I appreciate that you're willing to cover this issue.
I think your story is one that many parents can relate to, Christine, at least the feelings you had during COVID, watching this all play out. But explain that. How did you end up where you are today with the Parents Alliance?
Yeah, I ask myself that literally every day. I think that I am an example of an accidental activist at this point. I often will tell people I don't really have a resume to do this work. I am literally just a parent. I found myself just minding my own business in 2020, like many of us, and watching just our school communities unravel. It was certainly under the pressure of all of the COVID craziness, but also I think that afforded parents an opportunity to get a window into what their kids were being taught or what they were not being taught. And you cannot unsee and unhear what you know about schools, I think, once you really start to do the deep dive about what is going on in our K-12 system. So I felt no other choice but to get involved and try to inspire other parents to get involved, because I really don't believe that this system is going to fix itself. I think it is really up to our parent community to step forward and start advocating for their children.
Give us a brief overview, since I know you do a lot. It seems like you know your hands are in a lot of things. But what is the mission here of Parents Alliance?
Yeah, the mission simply is to educate and empower parents. I think we're in a situation right now because as a parent, I realize that we are all spread thin. You know, there are a lot of households with two working parents or single parents that really are just, you know, minute to minute, they don't have a second to spare. And I think we've just really entrusted, you know, the education of our children to our school system. And I think that right now it's really challenging to get people to carve out some time to really do sort of the investigative work to figure out what really is going on in our schools. I think that parents sometimes get caught off guard when a child comes home saying, you know, there's violence in the school, or, you know, you get caught off guard by an assignment or some sort of other piece of the curriculum that doesn't seem to ring true to what you thought our public schools were about. And so really our organization has stepped into this space to try to provide parents that informational piece of this is what we know about what we've, you know, seen in K-12 education, to try to give that wake-up call, so to speak, to parents, so that we can inspire that engagement that I think is critical to turning this thing around.
And you've had a great deal of success in a short amount of time, especially when it comes to school board candidate races. Again, something that I think a lot of parents didn't pay attention to.
Absolutely. And, you know, this really, I think we're on our second year here, but our first year really was realizing that, you know, in 2021, there were a lot of parents that ran for their local school board, and a lot of it was triggered by, you know, COVID restrictions and requirements. They were, you know, upset by the way that their local district handled some of those things. They stepped forward and ran for school board, and these are parents with, like, usually a full-time job and, you know, young kids, and they're busy, and they have no political aspiration beyond their local school board. They just want to, like, do what they can to influence some change in their local community. They are fantastic school board candidates, and they're just terrible at campaigning because they don't have the time or the experience to know how to do that effectively. Historically, people have waited till August to file, you know, officially to run for school board, and that doesn't give them much time to make the voter contact that they need to get their message out and reach the community and hopefully drive votes, you know, in November. So I saw this playing out in 2021, not only in my own district, but in surrounding districts. And it was the aha moment of, wait a minute, there's really no mechanism of support to help what I think are just really fantastic school board candidates to try to get involved in their local school district. So that's what inspired all of this. And so in 2022, we did a lot of things to help. We organized some trainings to help people just realize, you know, how to actually effectively campaign. And then we did a voter guide, which I think was also also really helpful. I know me personally, I never paid attention to who was running for school board. I think many Minnesotans are guilty of the same. You maybe sometimes check a sample ballot before you head out the door to the polls. So we created a voter guide and we promoted it. We endorsed parent-centered candidates. And so this was a way that we could show Minnesotans, you know, our organization is about reprioritizing academic achievement, equality, and parental rights. The candidates that we endorsed are driving at that same goal. And you can check and see who's running in your local district and be able to confidently support those candidates. So we endorsed 120 candidates statewide and 50 of them won their races. So we felt like that was a really solid success rate coming out of just, you know, our first year of trying this model of support. So we realized that what we're doing is working. And we hope to generate, you know, the same sort of success year over year. Now we have a cohort of current school board members, so people who won their elections that are seated. We have 80 people in that group. And it's been a fantastic way for those new school board members to really connect with one another. They often will crowdsource their questions with one another. We can provide a little bit of guidance on, you know, some policy and different things that they can propose to try to generate the changes that I think our K-12 system needs. So it's been really great to see that happen. And we're really excited to hopefully continue to churn that process of, you know, the new school board members can be helped by the current school board members and hopefully build that community.
And we're going to talk more about a school board candidate training you have coming up. But first, something before that, as I said, you're a busy woman, expanding education freedom in Minnesota. But tell us about the event you have coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah. And once again, I feel like we've been building the plane as we've been flying it here in this first year. And certainly when we started this mission, this was really about empowering people at the local level to get involved. And through our conversations with parents and certainly, you know, in the midst of what is just an incredibly radical legislative session that we are in the middle of here in Minnesota, we are quickly realizing that parents are looking for the exit ramp. I think that they are realizing that they felt like their local school districts were not always listening to them. We saw parents kind of being literally shut out of their local board meetings when they were trying to express what I believe are just very legitimate concerns about things like school violence and just basic academic proficiency. They didn't feel heard at their school board, and now they're not feeling heard at the Capitol. And so I think that has really driven this conversation toward we need to start providing families more options, because if your local public school is failing you, your children, parents are really desperate to try to figure out how it is that they can afford their children the high quality education that they deserve. And part of that involves financially empowering them to make a different decision. So we're really looking forward to partnering with a lot of other groups on this. I have personally seen the bipartisan call for this. This is not a political thing. This is a parent thing. And this is really just about how do we allow parents to make the best choice for their children. And we know that education just isn't a one-size-fits-all model, or it shouldn't be. So we want to make sure that parents can be that decision maker and choose the educational environment that's best for their children. So we're bringing in Corey DeAngelis. He is a national leader in this initiative on school choice. He has some fantastic insights. He's been very intimately involved with other states being able to pass universal school choice. And so he's here to kind of share what he knows about it. And we're really hoping to ignite a movement toward, you know, again, bipartisan support and a call for people to really say, you know what, we really need to start affording Minnesota families some better options.
We'll go ahead and put the link to that event in this article and on the comments section here as well. I also wanted to ask you, I know you guys have been helpful bringing some of these stories forward, but for the last few weeks, Alpha News has been releasing Sheila Kual's new podcast series. It's called Trapped: Chaos in the Classroom, where you really hear from parents, students, and teachers. You know, I know you've talked about this before, but teachers are on your side here too, for the most part. And this is about including them in the conversation. But these are really their own words, their own stories, some deeply troubling issues coming forward. This last episode, you have a parent reacting to when he found out that his school district changed his son's name without their permission or knowledge. Just talk about your reaction to what we're hearing in these podcasts.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm really grateful for Sheila's journalism on this. I believe that we are in a media blackout on the education crisis. We have tried and tried to get a lot of other coverage on what is really going on in our schools, the academic failures. And there just doesn't appear to be an appetite for that. So I really appreciate Sheila's journalism and trying to give this 360 view and soliciting, you know, the input of teachers, because they are a stakeholder in this and there are partners in this. So our organization often hears from teachers and they certainly are on our side. And I always like to just draw out that when I say teacher, and I think when you're referring to teachers, we're talking about professionals who are there to help your children succeed academically, most importantly. I unfortunately think that there now has to be a distinction made between teachers and activists. And I think that that is really important to kind of own that language. I think that a lot of times we see in other spaces in K-12 that this is sort of like a semantics game. But I want to be very clear that teachers are our partner in this work. No one knows better than teachers that the parent partnership is critical to student success. So I've been really happy that teachers have been starting to find their courage to speak up, because we get messages all the time from teachers who say, we're so glad about the work that you're doing. We'd like to remain anonymous because we're fearful about, you know, retaliation in our workplace for speaking up on some of these really important issues about controversial and divisive curriculum, school violence. They don't necessarily want to be outed for sharing these things, but they know that it needs to be heard and it needs to be known, and that parents really need to take action and demand some changes. So teachers are for sure our partner on this. I've been really encouraged by Sheila's work. And I think that, you know, hopefully as, you know, pieces like Sheila's podcast come out, that will inspire. I think courage is contagious in all of this, whether you're talking about parents or teachers. I think as people are starting to become brave and tell their story, we're all realizing we're not alone.
I think you're right, though. There are so many who just refuse to even believe a lot of this is happening, or do they even want to know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, and it really relates back to, I think, the, you know, education freedom conversation, is that there are so many families that feel trapped. They do not have an exit ramp out of the schools. And it's almost like they feel that it's best that they don't want to know. They really, literally, I think, need to kind of turn a blind eye to it, because the reality, their day-to-day reality, is that they need to put their kids on that school bus. They need to send their kids to that school. And they don't have a choice not to. It is heartbreaking. And I feel like what really keeps me in this work is the conversations I have with parents. We cry together because they are feeling so racked about sending their kids every day off on the bus. I had a parent group tell me that their neighborhood calls the school bus the big yellow monster, because it comes and takes their kids to a place where they don't feel like they're physically going to be safe. And they're very concerned about what they're hearing in the classroom. So that is why I think we all need to kind of lock arms on this as parents. I mean, I think that there just is like a natural, you know, camaraderie among parents and sort of this like unspoken bond when you're a parent. I think moms especially are really good about like helping other mothers. And I think that is really sort of what is undergirding this whole movement, is that parents are just realizing like we have to wrap our arms around our kids and we have to help one another improve this system. So I really, again, just feel so I feel like the heart of this mission really is the love that parents have for their children. And I also want to say that I think our children are looking at us in this moment. Are we going to meet this moment? Because I know that it is not not unknown to children. I mean, they really are in these really high pressure environments every day, whether you're talking about, you know, sort of the indoctrination push that I believe is happening in the vast majority of our schools in Minnesota, or just, you know, the violence and the constant disruption that's going on. They're looking around saying, where are the adults? You know, as a 14-year-old stuck in middle school, you don't really have a lot of sphere of control over what's going on, but the adults in your life certainly do. So I really, you know, want to impress on anybody who's listening to this to really consider that deeply, that our children are looking to the adults. Where are the grown-ups in this situation, where I think our schools are on fire right now? Arguably, our whole country is on fire. But we need to be setting that example for our students about when you see something that's not going well, something that's going wrong, the parents really need to step up and get involved.
And you address the politics of all of this, which can be a head scratcher, too. I know you guys have been cast as conservative almost automatically, but I think you've seen this education issue, and it really shouldn't be that way.
It is not. And I think that's the only reason that I love this movement. I don't really like politics. In fact, I really dislike them. And I will just say on a personal note, I was a former Democratic voter. I voted for Obama. So I certainly am not the, you know, typecast person that is, you know, a very extreme right-wing conservative. That doesn't match who I am. And I don't think it matches the vast majority of the people that have gotten involved in the parent movement. I think we're seeing an incredible amount of unity brewing in this movement. movement of parents across, you know, the political spectrum, all different faith backgrounds, really, again, locking arms to say, what is happening in our K-12 system? This isn't a right versus left thing. This is a right versus wrong thing. And so that is what I love about this the most, is that I think that we are living in such a divided world right now. I think there's so much polarization. This is like the one thing that I really believe that people should be able to come together on.
And coming together, also, you have this school board campaign training coming up. This happens on Saturday, May 13th. When people do get a chance to come together, and you guys are looking for quality candidates, you know, trying to run for the right reasons, but also maybe people who are interested in helping with a campaign. Just explain. It sounds like it's going to be an entire day, and you're going kind of one-stop shopping, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is my favorite event that we did last year. And again, last year was our first year, so I can't say that historically this has been an amazing event, but it was fantastic last year. We had about 75 people in the room. We found some local political strategists that know how to campaign much more than the average person. And so they are going to come in and just walk everybody through the basics of how do you even file for school board? You know, how do you do this? What are the nuts and bolts of it, so to speak? We're going to have a lunch panel of current school board members that are going to come and talk about the realities of running a school board campaign and then ultimately serving on a school board. So we've just had a lot. I mean, our whole organization has been propped up by some fantastic volunteer help. And these are people that just come in because they believe in the mission and they're there to be as supportive as possible to, again, these parents that are like, I have, you know, deep wells of energy and I believe that this is really important, but I just don't know where to start. So we're really looking forward to, again, a full day of training. And if you don't know, like if this is for you, this is the opportunity to find out. This is the opportunity to get all the information that you need. And often what happens is somebody comes in and they're like, you know what, I definitely don't want to run. I just want to help. But they attend the training and they realize, like, I can do this. And like something is on my heart that speaks to me that I want to do this. I want to be the candidate. I think I can speak to these issues and I want to put myself out there. So again, the empowerment piece is really, you know, central to what our organization is set up to do, is to try to really give parents the information that they need and empower them to take that next step, whatever it is.
Because if there's one thing we know in Minnesota, it's education. Minnesota has so much power. It's hard to beat those candidates who have that endorsement, the teachers union and such, but that you guys help navigate that road.
Yes. And, you know, again, that is why we really came into the picture, because we were looking at, you know, it is a slam dunk almost every single year and every single election that any candidate that's endorsed by Education Minnesota, by their own admission, typically wins 90% of the races that they get involved with. So, I mean, that's an absurd number of of wins that are being chalked up for the teachers union, which really arguably should have no stake in a local election. But here we are. That's the landscape that we're working with. And, you know, like it or not, the reality is that any candidate that is endorsed by Education Minnesota has at their disposal all of the DFL resources. That is just the relationship that exists. You know, Education Minnesota, and again, we're seeing this play out at the Capitol. The DFL and Education Minnesota are truly one and the same. And so that is a machine to fight up against. And so this is really a David and Goliath battle if you're looking at just the average parent stepping into that space with, again, no political affiliation. The school board races are a nonpartisan race. And so you know, arguably, Education Minnesota's endorsement and the DFL resources that support those candidates have made this political. And I often tell parents, listen, it doesn't really matter whether you are a conservative or a Democrat personally. If you're going to run against an Education Minnesota candidate, you will be painted as a conservative because you are the opposite of what they are. So that's kind of the landscape that we are really trying hard to navigate, all while maintaining the message that a lot of individuals who are running for their local school board really aren't political creatures at all. And many of them may also be Democratic voters who have just realized that they need to take a different position on K-12 education issues, something that is not what Education Minnesota typically seeks in the candidates that they endorse.
And just to reiterate, it says on your website that last May you had 80 people attend that event. 70% of the candidates who attended the May and July campaign won their elections.
Correct.
So it does pay off to be prepared and to go ahead and go to the experts to learn from what you guys are telling them. But you've said it before that strong school board members are really the last line of defense here in many cases.
100%. I think we're looking again at just a completely radical session that has gone off the rails at our Capitol, and the mandates and the, you know, trends in education that are going to be foisted on our local school boards will require really strong school board members with a really clear idea of what's going on and a strong backbone to make sure that they can retain as much local control over these mandates and curriculum choices as possible.
So tell people who are listening, who are watching, where they can go to get more information on your group, Christine.
Yeah. Well, you can go to minnesotaparents.org. That's our website. And on that website, you will find a variety of resources that you can engage with to try to just better understand some of the issues that are facing K-12 education. You'll find links to our events that are upcoming. And also, my favorite tool is the info@minnesotaparents.org. We will answer every single email that we get, and we often have become this sort of switchboard, so to speak, of, you know, parents across the state writing in and explaining their personal story of what's going on in their school. How do I navigate this? You know, we want parents to be able to feel confident asserting their parental rights. We still do have constitutionally protected rights as parents, and so a lot of times it's really just that handhold that parents need to say, you know what, this is going on, and I want to be able to, you know, put up a wall around my child and protect them as I see fit. Help me do that. So that's a big piece of what we do as well. And then the other thing is we like to connect parents. I feel like being that connection point to say, oh, you're facing that issue. Well, guess what? You should talk to the parents over in this district because they're dealing with the same thing. And a lot of that cross-district communication has never happened before. That has been new since we've sort of come into the picture. And I think it's been a real eye-opener for parents to realize that what seemed like a very unique and kind of fluky thing that may have happened with their particular situation in their district is not dissimilar to a lot of things that are happening in districts elsewhere. So connecting parent groups and individual parents with one another has just really been kind of the strong suit of what we've been doing as an organization for the last year.
And your messaging also states that reclaiming our state can start with reclaiming our schools, something you firmly believe.
Yeah, I think that's where we start. And I will tell parents, no one's coming to save your kids. We're looking at what's going on at the Capitol, and I don't believe that the majority of people that are making decisions in that building have your child's best interests in mind. And so I really think that we still have so much local control. And I think that we're starting just, you know, as a society to wake up to the fact that, you know, previously nobody cared what was going on at the bottom of the ballot, city council, school board. That's where you can really exert, I think, the highest degree of control over what goes on with your own family. Start where you are. Start at that local level. And I really think that that can start to have a ripple effect, you know, statewide and also nationally.
Again, Christine Troyan, Executive Director for the Minnesota Parents Alliance. Thank you so much for your courage and for joining me.
Thank you for your journalism. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you right back. And that will do it for this episode of Liz Collin Reports. We will see you next time.